Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to A Novel Beginning, where we share the raw truth of an author's reality. I am your host, C.R. Rice, and as always, I have the amazing Danielle Amorsino here with me today. And we are going to be talking all about the author mob mentality that ends up kind of getting thrust into everybody's lives as you publish and you start editing and you go to these events and things like that. So kind of a high school feel to it, wouldn't you say, Danny?
Oh, yes. Yes, I would completely agree with that, CR. How are you tonight, by the way? How you doing?
I'm doing good. We're here in Richmond. We're getting ready for GalaxyCon this week. So I don't know. How are you feeling? How are you doing? You've had some adventures today.
Yes, I have. Hello, TSA in Charlotte, North Carolina. CLT, how you doing out there? You know me very well now, intimately. Thank you so much. I'm ready for GalaxyCon Richmond, so anybody who's in the Richmond, Virginia area, you should come down and see us at the pop-up bookshop and come by and talk to us. But mob mentality is interesting. It's an interesting phenomenon, I think, especially in the author realm and the publishing world. When was your first taste of mob mentality? Because you were around a little bit before me in this arena.
Yeah.
So what was your taste of it?
Oh, the first one. Let's see. It would have to be when I went to Phantasm in 2021. It's a horror con that takes place in Orlando every year. And it was my first ever event that I had ever done. And I got walked over. My publisher had brought me, and we walk over, and there's a couple other authors that are that were a part of the publishing house but weren't on the publisher's table for some reason. So that's what they had us do. They had a couple of us there signing at our own tables and things. And I didn't know what to expect, was given no guidelines, was just given a, hey, why don't you show up here? We got your books. You just show up, smile, look happy. And I was like, okay. I go, and every single other author that was there was off to the side, kind of like talking at one side of, because they had us in like this giant circle of tables. And so all the authors were in the center, and everybody else, I guess, had done conventions before or had known each other because they were local authors. And I walk over and I just kind of like wave, like, you know, hi. And everybody just kind of looked at me funny. Like, we got a new girl. What is the new girl doing here? And I was like, oh, okay. So this is what we do. And they would go and almost moved away. Like, you know, you ever go anywhere and you know, you just made a mistake as soon as you walked in. You don't know why, but the air is kind of off or everybody stops talking. Yep. That's kind of what happened. And nobody spoke to me for the most of the first day. And then there was another author that I had briefly known. Like, I had heard her name, had never actually met her. She came in like wildfire and just kind of popped over. She was right next to me, and she was very engaging, very talkative, everything like that. And then for about 5 minutes, and then she disappeared too, and everybody kind of stuck to that other side, which turns out I didn't care. It was one of those where I was like, oh, so this is what we do. Like, I'm just not in the cool kid club. Like, it's not – I haven't done any of these before, so I guess instead of – I was expecting somebody to, you know, kind of come over and be like, hey, this is what happens. This is what you do. Don't be nervous. Don't be whatever, and have that atmosphere.
Somebody kind of
take
you around.
Not what it was at all. It was kind of like a, this is our spot. What are you doing here? Because they found out I'm not a horror author. And so it was like, oh, but I do dark metaphysical. So it's more of a psychological than it is horror. And so as soon as everybody found out, it almost separated me even more. Like, what is she doing here? She doesn't even write this genre. What is going on? And I was like, I didn't. Right. Like, I didn't even understand at the time that it would be a problem. I completely understand it. It's like going to like a romance con, and like you write I don't know, horror per se, but it was still strange. It was kind of like nobody did the question like, hey, like, do you know this? Because I didn't. All I knew is that it was called Phantasm. And my publisher had reached out and was like, hey, do you want to come check out this event? I think it'll be really great for you. You can actually, you know, get the taste of being out in the circuit and stuff like that. And I was like, okay. Found out it was a horror con, and it was like clicks. Just immediately, they were like, we're the horror authors. You stay on that side. And I was like, all right, I'm going to stay over here. At the end of the day, I sold more than they did. Maybe because I wasn't being mean to people and I believe in karma. I don't know. But to be my first unexpected, it was like, it went through like a whisper, like, oh, no, she doesn't write horror. And like, I didn't understand what the big deal was.
Right.
I understand it, but I didn't understand it, if that makes sense. What about you?
But I don't understand it. Because in
exactly.
Sense, not everybody's there, as we know, doing these conventions. Not everybody's there. You know, people come to, you know, go with their spouse or take their kids. Like, not everybody's there for whatever the convention is. So they want a taste of something different. So I get why you were there. You know, I think it was a smart move. And I think it's unfair for anybody to be like, oh, it's just us. We're the only ones who can be here. That's the exact opposite of everything we're trying to do, especially as authors, and kind of fight against the mean girl and mob mentality crowd, you know, that reputation.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, they were in the wrong 100%, and it really should have been more welcoming because everybody could have fed off of each other.
It kind of, and it's one of those,
sold more books.
Right. And it's one of those things where I think that's one of the bigger issues is that it sets, you almost get a bad taste in your mouth, and it makes you not want to do those things, and it makes you not want to step out as an author and try to meet people who love your books or who could potentially end up loving your books, because you get left with that really bad feeling, and nobody wants that.
Mm-hmm. No.
What about you?
That's
what was
the last
yours?
Thing. You know what? I had more of, because initially I wasn't with I wasn't with other authors. And I was kind of out on my own even when I was with a publisher. I got more of the mob mentality from dealing with, you know, the conservatives, the Christian groups that were against my book. And once one would speak out, I would then have the mob speaking out and coming at me. For, you know, the blasphemy issues within Locked Out of Heaven. So once one said something, when I was on book tours, they would all come for me. Or what they would do is one would sign up for a book tour and specifically to torch the book. And then it would just all start out. And I remember I was on one tour in particular, and a girl, or I guess she was a girl, you know, her picture, that's what she showed, I don't know. But she was a philosophy student. And she studied philosophy and religion, but she didn't tell the tour host, because the tour host was very, you know, this had been happening enough that I had warned the tour host. So they sent out like a questionnaire and basically was like, here are the triggers. You know, I don't want to have any problems. She signed up, didn't tell them, and went off about, you know, everything in the book and just torched me and played it behind the idea that she read the book for this college class on philosophy and religion. And then, you know, had all her friends comment on it. And then it just turned into this mob mentality of these very conservative religious people destroying the book on this book tour.
Right.
And so that was when I really saw it all kind of coming at me. And then every time someone on the tour gave a good review, somebody would go in and say something negative. And it continued on other tours. So even if they weren't on the tour, somebody would go in and say something negative. And it followed me for years on other tours where they had nothing to do with the tour. And they would just come in. And you could be on books three. And these people from Locked Out of Heaven would still come back and be like, yeah, but I never liked this. Or I don't like that. Or I just don't get it. And I was like, okay, can you just leave me alone? Like, I get it. You have an issue with the book. We get it. Leave it alone. It was just that kind of thing where I'm like, I don't understand this, and I couldn't. I still, to this day, I will still have people pop up on a tour who have nothing to do with it, or they will review the book while I'm having a tour for another book, and they will wait and then tag me and tag the tour host and say something about Locked Out of Heaven. And I'll be on book 6. And I just had that happen. I think it was, it might have been a Phase Done. Or it was actually, it was Fire Ice Acid. It was the novella. Had nothing to do with Locked Out of Heaven. And somebody popped in, tagged everybody who was on the tour, and was like, I just couldn't get into it. I don't read high fantasy and religious. And just tagged us all, including the tour host. And they were like, you have nothing to do with us. Like, we ain't even reviewing that book. Like, what are you, we're on a book about dragons. What are you, why? And just, and that's what they do. They've just snipered me whenever they get a chance. And they all get together and do this. And there's nothing I can do. But it's like that mob mentality. So
yeah.
That was my first dealing. And this was with just reviewers and a group of people who just really fundamentally disagree with the first book. You know, they still don't understand it's a fantasy book, but okay, I'm just out of breath explaining it to them. So that was my first mob mentality kind of issue. And it's, you know, it still bugs me, but there's nothing I can do about it. What am I going to do? I can hold up a sign all I want. I'm not going to change their mind.
Exactly. And that's where the hard parts, and I think that happens a lot with, you know, when you think of the mob mentality, you think of things like that, and you think of the readers getting upset or, you know, people boycotting and all of that stuff. But one of the things that blew my mind and still blows my mind is the fact that authors create their own mob mentality, whether it's against,
agreed,
you know, other authors of other genres, whether like, oh, I know one of the big ones is, you know, everybody really is bashing the YA industry and the new adult industry.
Mm-hmm.
And they're,
yes,
very much,
yep,
like, oh, you're like, why are you writing that? Everybody's so tired of these young teenagers that get these ultimate destinies and it's so annoying and nobody wants to read that. And it's like, okay, cool. Maybe you don't, but it's the number one industry out there right now. So
right,
clearly you're wrong. And, you know, everybody says, mm-hmm, that it's like taking the easy way. I know that was one thing that I had heard from an author. She asked me if I felt writing YA was taking an easy way out. And I was like,
mm-hmm,
I don't think there is an easy way out in writing any,
no,
genre. There's no,
agreed,
there's no easy way. There's nothing like that. I chose to do YA because this book was started, you know, by me when I was 13. And I wanted the first series that I did to be finishing that, and I was the teenager, you know, when I was writing it, and I wanted that great moment, so I wanted to capture that and stick it out for everybody to read. It wasn't about choosing an easy genre as it is, because I don't really think there is an easy genre. I don't think there's, you know, it's there may be things that are, there are definitely genres that are easier for me to write in then,
mm-hmm,
you know, fantasy is not easy in general. You're creating a world and you want to make sure that you do it enough that people actually feel that world and that they feel they're a part of it. When you write,
mm-hmm,
in a modern or urban setting, to me, that's a little bit easier because it's easy for people to relate to. That doesn't make the genre,
mm-hmm,
easy, but I feel
right,
like that it makes it easier. You know, you almost have a leg up when you're trying to relate to people or trying to get people into your world.
To make it more unique when you're writing urban fantasy in general, like to put a unique spin on it, I agree with you. Like, I think that's more challenging because people can relate to it. How are you going to surprise them? How are you going to shock them? Or how are you going,
right,
to make it feel mythical or magical because it's almost grounded too much in reality? How do you, you know, what do you do to kind of curveball them? I think that's
like,
the challenge in urban fantasy is.
I think that it's one of those weird ones is because, you know, as I work through the realms, each realm is a different genre, and I just bounce between doing, you know, a sci-fi realm, which is kind of a parallel to this universe, so it's very much structured the same, so it just has that little bit of a twist and a futuristic feel. And then I was doing the time realm, which is a modern urban fantasy, and then I was, you know, so, and it's one of those where you want people to feel comfortable and you want them to have that, but at the same time you do want to add just a little bit of like a hint that maybe there is that magic out there. And that's one of the things that I found tricky and actually kind of fun, is just throwing those,
mm-hmm,
little things that you see every day that you don't even think about, that it's like, oh, wait a second, I've seen that before. Maybe that's a little bit magical, or maybe this is could be somewhere. But the way that authors band together is both great and terrible, because you have the ones that band together like we've done with the bookshop, and we take and we bring those authors together, and they are so supportive of each other, and they are reading each other's books, and they're pushing each other's books, and they're friends and enthusiastic about what the, you know, the next thing that they're going to release is. But then you also have the toxic side, and you have the side that just wants them to succeed. And if, God forbid, you write the same genre they do, because if you do, they will do everything in their power to sink you and make yours, or to make theirs look better. And I wasn't, that was another one of the shocks of being in the literary world is, and I like to think that it's always been this way with authors. Like, I don't want to think that it's a new age thing, that it's just, you know, people are just so toxic now sometimes that it's seeped into every industry. And I almost want to hope that it was like this always, and it just seems worse because there is social media and things like that.
That's exactly what I think it is.
I feel like, because social media just destroys it. Yes.
I think that's the difference. They can do their own dirty work through social media now, and it puts it out there. But I think it was always this way. I think it was just always there. You know, it was just social media has brought it to the forefront now. We can see it all. And the mob mentality really is magnified through social media, because we can see everybody's comments.
Yeah.
Now you can see what's happening. People can get other people to do it. The problem that I see with authors kind of jumping on other tropes and, you know, jumping on other genres and kind of pulling it down a little bit. You know, I see people do it a lot with romance. It's like, oh, it's formulaic.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Multimillionaire falls in love with Plain Jane and life is good. You know, you see kind of that stuff, or the smut. And, you know, everybody's kind of got to feel like, I could do that. I could write that. That's super easy. Nobody's saying you can't write it. But getting it to stand out, doing things
and is
like
it going
to
be good? I read so many books, and I do read those ones. I like to branch across all the different genres, and I have a blast doing that. And sometimes, like you said, you want the Disney princess experience, where you have the Plain Jane that goes through, and the gruff guy falls for her, and it's happily ever after. No such thing as happily ever after, but like. You know, you just want to read that for a moment. But then those people are the ones that also attack everybody else.
Right, because they want...
I feel like sometimes and I have a lot of really good friends that are romance authors, and they're super nice. But then you get to the ones that are almost mean when they talk, you know, because it's like, oh, I'm an author. It's like, oh, awesome, what do you write? And they're like, oh, I do romance. You haven't heard of me. I'm this person. It's like, no, sorry. Like,
right.
Brad Pitt. Like, I don't know who you are.
They want a status that goes with it. And I think it's also because they've defended their genre for so long. They kind of have to come in like that. And I do understand it to a point. I get it. And even as a fantasy person who, you know, for many times was told, only go by your initials. Don't tell anybody you're a woman. You know, it was, and can you put some romance in it? Because you're writing about fate. Can we get a romance here? And I'm like, no, I don't, that's not my strong suit in where the story is going. There's no room for a real romance. It's not here. Oh, but you're writing about fate. Like, people would tell me, and I would get readers who were just like, when are we getting romance? Because it's fae. It's expected. It was just like, this is where it has to go. And I'm like, and I would tell people, I'm not Sarah J. Maas. That's not what you're getting. I don't write the smut very well, so I'm not going to try to do it. And I'm not trying to be her. So, and I would get pushback, and I get pushback from other authors in my genre who were kind of like, well, why can't you write it this way? Because that's not who I am. So let it go. And somebody had just recently read the book and said, if Jennifer from Blood and Ash and Sarah J. Maas had a child who was bleached
meaning like all the smut was taken out. This is birth of the Fae is in. And they were like, and I mean that in the nicest possible way. They were like, it's just the political intrigue is turned up a notch. The violence is turned up a notch, but there's no smut. They were like, if that's what you're looking for, they were like, this is who you need to read. If you're just done with the smut, but you want more of the other stuff, this is it. And I was like, okay, I'll take that as a compliment. But then other people came in with the, but it should be this, but it should be that. And I'm like, yes. Why can't I just be me? Why is every author coming in with, but this is what you should be? And I think as authors, we want to help each other, but then we kind of get a little judgmental.
Oh, absolutely.
We think we know best.
I did a few. Like, I caught myself doing this.
Mm-hmm.
It's, yeah, it's so hard. It's so hard.
That's, yeah, I just, we want to help, but then it's like, that's not, we have to let the other person tell their story. Even if we're just like, oh, but it'd be so much better if you just, you know, but they know where mm-hmm. it's going. We don't. So that there's that, then there's the mob mentality of readers who want a trend. Because the trend right now is this, you know, or I remember reading like everybody's, you know, for a while, okay, we all know it was vampires and it was werewolves and it was this, you know, everybody wanted those stories. And the readers are like, mm-hmm. they kind of come to you and they're like, can you write this for me? Because I love your writing. So could you like, you throw a shifter in there or something? And you're like, I don't write shifter romance. I'm sorry. Like, I get you might want to, but I don't do that. They want you to do. And, you know, it's like you're trying, you don't want to pander. But you're happy somebody wants your writing. So you have to find a balance and not give in to the mob.
And
when they want something
say that
good, even when it's good.
I have found myself doing that. I'm editing a book for someone right now, and they're writing it. And I can never be an editor, like an actual editor for somebody. I'm just going through and helping them do their first run to make sure the book works. And I told her, I was like, I can't do this all the time for you. Because I catch myself wanting to fix it. And she's like, what do you mean? What's wrong with it? I'm like, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. It's a good story. It's just,
mm-hmm.
I do the same thing when I read. I'm like, oh, no, see, if you did something like this. And so I catch myself doing the same thing. I would never, you know, let them know that. I'm not going to go to an
mm-hmm.
author and be like, I really like your story. But so this is what you should have done. I would never do that.
Right.
But yeah, as I have been editing this book, I'm going through and have caught myself trying to change her story.
Right.
So it almost
yep.
gives me that little bit of appreciation in a way. Now, she did tell me that I could change things, which I think maybe triggered it. Maybe that's what did it. Maybe it's her fault. We're going to say it's her fault. I'll tell her it's her fault. But I go through and you do have that. But then you also have the people that are so anti. You have the people that are so
yes.
against like the trends. And if they find out, you know, let's say it's a, like you said, the billionaire romances. As soon as, they won't even give a story a chance. They're like, nope,
right,
absolutely
right.
not. I boycott this whole thing. And it's like, okay, I understand it. Maybe you don't want to read it every single day. But at the same time, you liked the story until you found out that it was a billionaire romance. So
exactly.
It's kind of, there's so many different directions that it goes. And
it cuts both ways.
You're just going to be more mindful because I honestly believe that some people don't realize they're doing it, but the worst mob mentality for me are the people that jump on the bandwagons for the books that are not that good or good
but
at all,
because, mm-hmm.
but because it's on the, oh God, what is it called? The book talk?
New York
book talk,
Times bestseller. Or book talk.
Oh.
Or, yeah. Then it's
and
it's
they
gone.
Swear it's
I've,
the greatest thing in the
yeah.
world. And I'm like, guys, come on, let's be realistic. Read that without reading the input first, because if you go through, every single review is the exact same. And when you go
yep.
and you read it, it's like, I've read a lot of those books because I'm like, oh, like, what are they doing? Like, let's find out. And I can barely get through some of them. Some of them really are absolutely fantastic. But
yes.
then there are others, and I'm like, no, they just really know how to market. So, like, you almost want to high-five them. And be like, I see
yes.
what you did there. Like, I see what
yeah,
you did there,
like,
but at the
nice.
Same time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it drives
me nuts.
But then
part of it's just they had money behind them, you know, or whatever. And then you're just like, okay, you got money, you know, for whatever reason, or you're hitting at the right time. It's
mm-hmm.
not that the book is the next
literary coming of whatever. It's just you read other books by an indie author that were 10 times better, and you're like, why doesn't anybody know about this? This is phenomenal. You're like, this is the next thing. And then, you go on Book Talk, and you're like, okay, how many influencers did they pay? And anybody who says they don't pay is BS. They pay.
Okay, oh, it's such a lie. We pay all the money. It's all the money. Just sell your soul, because that's how much money you need.
It's just be clear, okay? They pay. And there's a lot of influencers out there who will ask for books just because the cover's pretty, and they will never do a review on it. They just want it on their shelves, because when they do their shelfies, they need a really cool book. And that's what they do it. And so they'll never review the book. They just collect a bunch of books because it looks really good. And the new term is shelf wealth, and that's what they do. And so it's really, really a crazy kind of thing. So sometimes with the Book Talk, you've got to be careful with what's really out there. And unfortunately, it's made it into Barnes & Noble's, where there is now a table. And people think that table is not bought. Let me be clear. That table is still bought and paid for by publishers, because publishers bought and paid to get it on Book Talk. And now they're paying a certain amount of money for it to be in the center. So don't think this is all just somebody going, I just made it on Book Talk. Oh, my God, I'm on TikTok. I don't know. There's still money behind it. It's not your favorite indie author who just made it big. That's all BS.
Yeah. A couple of them do. You will get those little unicorns and stuff like that. But then you also have, you know, one of the biggest things that I do, and I'm a person, I do have Kindle Unlimited. I read so many books. And then when I like them, I do buy them. I will buy them. But it's one of the biggest things that I do is I go, let's say I do the, pick a random genre, and I go, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to read romance today. I go to the lowest rated or the books that don't have as many reviews, because those are the authors that are busting their butts to try to get their books out and get people to review it. And as somebody who has had their reviews removed several times because their books gotten taken down, it is so hard to get those reviews. So
we lose them all when that happens.
All the time. Every single flipping time. But I go through and I leave the reviews for those people, and I've done it hundreds of times. And those are the authors that'll, you know, on occasion, they'll reach out to you and they'll just say, thanks for leaving a review. Like, do you want to sign up for my newsletter? I have another book coming out. Okay, sure, dude. Like, sign me up. But those are the ones that really need it, not the ones that have the 20,000 reviews on them, because half the time the books that I read that have those 10, 15 reviews are so, so good.
Yeah, they're hidden gems. So you got to just look for it. And just mob mentality goes both ways. There can be positives to it. There can be negatives to it from the sense of the consumer. And as an author, just dealing with other authors and in the publishing world. So you kind of have to figure
out
how to navigate it. That's the whole thing. There are two sides to that coin. And we've been on both sides, I think it's safe to say. Both sides we've been on. But you got to just check it out. Chelsea, what's coming up next week? Because we're back. We're both back in our home, in our respective home states.
I know. I'm so excited for the heat. Next week, we're talking about having no honor. And it's a super punny thing. It's super fun.
Yes.
You guys have to tune in. It is going to be a story that still gets me mad. So it'll be super fun for everybody. But it also shares, you know, an important part of the publishing industry. So I'm super excited about it. Danny, I know you're super excited.
Yeah, that was a fun time for both of us. And it will be same time next week, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. But you can always follow us on Instagram to check out what's been going on at Wonder Twin Events. DM us if you have any questions, anything you want us to cover. And you can always check the archived version of this on Blog Talk Radio, /Mancini Sports, and check it out there. And then also check out our link tree, which will have the archived version as well. But if you're in the Richmond area this weekend, March 15th through the 17th, come down to GalaxyCon, which is in the Richmond Convention Center.
There are still some passes left. I think there's only day passes. So check us out there, and we will see you next week or hopefully this weekend. Have a great week, guys. Thanks so much.
Bye, guys.